Howdy, y'all. This is Rhett Miller, and you're listening to Pantheon Podcasts.
History in five songs. With host Martin Popoff. A production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
Yes, indeed. Martin Popoff here, back again for another episode of History in Five Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good people at Pantheon Podcasts. It's a vast and always expanding Pantheon Podcast Network. Lots and lots of cool music shows. To see what all of them are, just go to pantheonpodcast.com. All right. This is episode 176. We're calling this Rock and Roll Medley. This arose from a discussion I've had in my my cool little industry email group. It actually started with a very heated exchange on Creedence Clearwater Revival. You know, I've always had this weird feeling with those guys. That was one of the first bands I ever got into, almost by random, right? When I was like 8, 9, 10 years old, sort of thing. And but I've always had this thing that they were kind of like old-timey, and were they a revival band? Or were they a retro band, sort of thing? And what were they looked like back then? So, you know, and it's funny, you see a bit of that in the reviews, but maybe not. And maybe it's too close to the 50s. What I'm getting at here is we're going to be talking a little bit about this retro idea as we go along here. So this and this touched off something a little more adjacent. Monty Connor over there, you know, periodically we start complaining about, you know, he brings up sometimes the Uriah Heep live album with Rock and Roll Medley, and that's what we're naming this after, and that's going to be our first selection. But yeah, before we get there, the idea here is we're going to be looking at these big acts of the 70s and maybe 80s in one case, that goes and plays a bunch of these old rock and roll tunes. Why do they do it? Who are the worst offenders? Do we like it? Do we not like it? You know, and this is all basically on official live albums or semi-official stuff. I wanted to make sure here that there was at least something out to make, you know, this concept official. But yes, it's named after kind of notoriously known as the very worst offender. Well, let's take a listen to this first of all. This is our first selection today. And by the way, thanks for some research here as well from Tim Durling, Mick Phelan, Neil Miller, Monty Connor, and Jonathan Richards. But yeah, let's take a listen. This is Uriah Heep with Rock and Roll Medley. Okay, so the idea here, Heap gets the pole position because they are the most notorious and crappy and hideous at this thing. You know, this is something that everybody, every Heap fan in for all of Heap lore has complained about this. Uriah Heap puts out a very fetching live album. Official 10-page color program, Bronze Records, and Peter Boyer present Uriah Heep Live January 1973. And it's a double live album. It's got a booklet in it and all that. You know, this is Uriah Heep, you know, firing on all guns, just putting out all these great albums super fast. You know, so it's a double live album with a bunch of their stuff on it, but there is this rock and roll medley to close the thing out. And this is the textbook example of this. This is the closest to the core of the concept here. So essentially what they do is, I'm looking at the back cover here. You get past side four, you know, crushes us with Look at Yourself, Magician's Birthday, Love Machine, you know, one of their textbook heavy metal shuffles. And then all of a sudden you've got Rock and Roll Medley. Roll Over Beethoven, Barry. Blue Suede Shoes, Perkins. Mean Woman Blues, Demetrius. Hound Dog, Lieber Stroller. At the Hop, Singer, Medora, White. Whole Lot of Shaking going on. Williams, David. Blue Suede Shoes, Perkins. So there's even the idea of, you know, the recurring theme, the coming back medley thing. You know, this is a trope that starts with classical music. We unfortunately get blue suede shoes even twice there. So yeah, this is this horrible, horrible thing. Nobody wants to hear this stuff from these bands. Now, why do they do it? So it's interesting. In a band like Heap's case, you know, this is the stuff they grew up on as kids. So this is early enough. It's 1973. This is a band who's, you know, starts working seriously, these various members of the band, 68, 69, whatever. But, you know, they grew up on this rock and roll stuff. So why do they do it? It's a little bit of an indulgence of their youth. These are the first songs they ever played. These are the songs that, you know, they have the fondest memory of playing in their living room, their garage, their basement, their very first bands. So they're kind of indulging themselves here. Their fans, however, are usually a few years younger than them. So they find this stuff oldy moldy, embarrassing. They don't want to hear this stuff. So it's never a highlight of these things. And another curious thing, you know, part of this whole thinking about the Creedence Clearwater Revival thing is, okay, so they're, are they reviving a little bit of old rock and roll and the folk boom? You know, I just read a really cool thing in the New Yorker, big article on Bob Dylan. And, you know, Bob Dylan is famously a guy who reworks and has one, you know, A lead to B, lead to C, the folk canon, the great American song canon, to come up with his great songs. And he kind of explains that a little bit in this article. So Uriah Heep is here, but they're in 1973. They're a British band, and what else is going on in Britain at the time? Glam, UK glam, the notorious UK glam. So I actually looked up this whole idea of these 50s revivals or these old rock and roll revivals, right? That's what rock and roll is. That's why we're calling this rock and roll medley. That term has actually still stuck to essentially refer to 50s music, right? But I thought of what was a key rock and roll revival, the Teddy Boys. Go look at pictures of the Teddy Boys. It is hilarious. Like the what do they call them? Drape jackets and brothel creepers and all this stuff. So it's a crazy fashion thing, but it's also, you know, bleeds into the idea of rockers. So that's a rocker revival. It's a little bit different from Teddy Boys, but the same kind of thing musically. But that's more, jeans and really like, slicked back hair, leather jacket sort of thing. But so looking at the wiki on Teddy Boys, this I found kind of interesting. It says, following the London rock and roll show held at Wembley Stadium in August 72, featuring American performers including Little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Chuck Berry, plus UK support acts, the music enjoyed a renewed period of popularity. Musical momentum was maintained by the release of films such as American Graffiti and That'll Be the Day, both 1973, and glam rock reworkings by bands such as Wizard, The Glitter Band, and Show Waddy Waddy, topping the pop charts from 1973. And Tim Durling mentioned as well, Happy Days. Happy Days was a big, you know, hit sitcom kind of thing. But I totally remember the big hubbub over American Graffiti. You know, I was a little kid getting Mad Magazine every, what was it, 2 weeks, month? But, you know, they would send up American Graffiti. I distinctly remember that one. We had Grease, right? Remember Grease? That was a big one. John Travolta, Olivia Newton-John. So these various 50s revivals have happened over time. And Uriah Heep is right in the thick of, like I say, they're in the UK. It's 1973. Glam is going on. They actually even dressed kind of glam a little bit. I mean, glam is a weird thing. It's not really a musical style. But they dressed a little bit glam. So I thought that was kind of interesting that, all of this is wrapped up that, you know, they're doing this revival. Partially, I don't know what, 10%, 20%, 30%. Partially, it's an indulgence to their youth, but partially, it might be a little bit of a nod to the 50s rock and roll revival. All right, let's move on to our second selection here. Take a listen to this. This is ZZ Top with Backdoor Medley.
Shake your body, 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 shake
Okay, so this is the other one we all complain about, right? ZZ Top Fandango, the band's fourth album. Side 2 is one of the greatest sides in all of rock and roll. I love ZZ Top. They're one of my favorite bands. But we've got Nasty Dogs and Funky Kings, Blue Jean Blues, Balinese, Mexican Blackbird, Heard It on the X, and Tush. An amazing side of music. Tush, not so great. I mean, it's maybe their biggest song, but still... I don't like it very much, and the reason I'm bringing it up is because all of Side 1 sounds like Tush, if you ask me. So Side 1, what do they do? They've got this thing called Thunderbird. Now, Thunderbird, actually, it gets there was a little bit of a dust-up legally on that. So written and performed by the Nightcaps, a band formed in the 50s when the members were teenagers. So it was a Nightcaps thing. But you know, ZZ Top gets the credit. It's essentially a fast blues. I mean, all of these fast boogie songs, they're pretty interchangeable, and we're going to learn a little bit more about that as we go along. So anyways, you know, ostensibly, so this is a live side, right? So Fandango Side 1 is a live side, which would have been good if it would have been all cool new originals. But so no, it's Thunderbird followed by Jailhouse Rock. So that's not a medley. So 156 Jailhouse Rock. And then we go into the, you know, the officially named Backdoor Medley. So starts with Backdoor Love Affair, which granted is one of their songs. So that's cool. Mellow Down Easy, Willie Dixon, Backdoor Love Affair number 2, Long Distance Boogie. So yeah, 109, 339, 204, 231. Basically, the entire live side is just wall-to-wall boogie. Boogie and blues, but mostly boogie. It's pretty up tempo. It's pretty interesting. But that whole backdoor medley thing is almost like them just vamping away over you know, pretty light, fast, feathery, cool Frank Beard drums, which is kind of cool. So yeah, big mess there. Nobody likes this. This is now a whole side of, you know, your IE Heap rock and roll medley, this backdoor medley thing. And like I say, even if it's broken up into three tracks, the entire thing just feels like a boogie medley. Now, why is ZZ Top doing this? You know, this is a little bit of a different situation. So now we've got an American band from the South, Texas. Are they a, you know, Southern rock band, whatever. But the point is these guys are almost like in a scholarly way, giving you their roots. Entertaining. That's another big thing. You know, I've famously always mentioned, you know, it was a really cool, you know, sitting down with Malcolm Young from AC/DC and having him explain that you play a boogie and that'll calm the natives, the farmers, the hard workers from bottling you and stuff, because everybody loves a boogie, right? Sort of thing. So this is a standard legendary barroom trope that, you know, this music, even if it's not directly recognizable because of, you know, the name of the original, it's still the whole structure of it is very recognizable. So this is ZZ Top essentially playing a set that is designed to just take care of business, entertain the crowd, sell beer, you know, which they, you know, had to do in their various bands, American Blues, like playing the Cellar, the two different Cellars. I guess there's one in Houston, Dallas. And then, you know, they're touring all over the place, playing lots of covers. They grew up on all this stuff. They learned all this stuff. But what is kind of interesting here is that, you know, they're at least smart enough to realize that don't hit us with a bunch of slow blues. Like this is really amped up, you know, speedy stuff. This is why I always consider Foghat and ZZ Top, you know, brethren. So it's action-packed, but it's still very, very traditional and, you know, not particularly enjoyable as far as I'm concerned. All right, we'll touch down on a few of these other ideas as we go along. This episode of History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff is sponsored by BetterHelp. Without a healthy mind, being truly happy and at peace is hard. The good news is therapy works. But what is therapy exactly? It's whatever you want it to be. Maybe you're not feeling motivated right now and would like some tools to help. Or maybe you're feeling insecure in relationships or at work, not dealing well with stress. Whatever you need, it's time to stop being ashamed of normal human struggles and start feeling better, because you deserve to be happy. And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you to help. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat chat sessions with your therapist so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what online therapy is really about. It's always a good time to invest in yourself because you are your greatest asset. And special offer to History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff listeners. You can get 10% off your first month of professional therapy at betterhelp.com/5songs. That's better, HELP.com/5songs. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with 2 devices at once. New quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So, what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of scary guys, skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month, so just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
Episode. All right, let's take a listen to our third selection, and we shall discuss. This is Queen with Jailhouse Rock. Okay, so Queen is guilty of this thing as well, believe it or not. Queen, the absolutely amazing, got so much to offer, great band, you know, action-packed originals, so many songs that were starting to be hits immediately. This is not fully official. This is a later archival release that I pulled this from. This is Live at the Rainbow 74. But as you can see, just like ZZ Top, they do Jailhouse Rock. And this is, you know, officially, semi-officially, Jailhouse Rock / Stupid Cupid / Bebop-a-Lula. So you've got an intro, Jailhouse Rock. Stupid Cupid is basically new words over Jailhouse Rock. Bebop-a-Lula, you know, slides right in there as well. So this is a perfect example of the whole seamless quality of these things, how these songs can be overlaid on top of each other. Apparently they played Tutti Frutti too. But anyways, I thought I'd mention something that's kind of interesting that reinforces this idea of glam. Because Queen, again, this is 1974. They're an English band. They can dress glammy too. Queen sometimes even gets discussed as part of the glam scene, a lot more than Uriah Heep does. But so this is an interesting story. So you know, Sweet, when I started putting this episode together, I thought, did Sweet do this somewhere? And I you know, I was kind of mixed up thinking of, you know, Man with a Golden Gun on Sweet Strung Up, and knowing that so much of that is jammy, that's a whole nother thing. There's a jammy nature to this. There's jammy and there's crowd participation, which are two different sort of parts of this, you know, quote unquote medley thing. And you know, even a fourth version is how I'm kind of mixing a little bit, cheating a little, and mixing the idea of old rock and roll covers in your live set as well. And maybe it's not such in a medley way, but so I thought about Sweet, and I knew that was kind of a mess of a live album. Like, great, great performances on that, but it's a bunch of weird stuff. It's pretty heavy too. But Strung Up is half compilation and half live. But they've got this long Man with a Golden Gun. And I went and looked through it to say, hey, is there any 50s rock and roll in here? And there wasn't. It's basically that weird, you know, soundtrack tune with a massive long, you know, Mick Tucker drum solo in it. But what made me also think of Sweet is that they do cover, oh, what is the 50 song? There's a 50 song covered, you know, even later in their series period. But this is really interesting. So from my Sweet book, which is still available, Rebel Rouser, a Sweet user manual, Brian Connolly mentioned how Desolation Boulevard at that time, they were going to do a concept album. And here's what he said. It's the story of rock and roll, not just a pop album with singles, sort of rock and roll from 1956 to 1976. We're going to finish it with a futuristic track. The songs are original. Basically, it's our interpretation of what was around over those years, what was sort of leading the era 56, 59, 63, 65, you know, Beatles and so on. The name of the album is From the Grave of Ocker the Rocker. And the idea is that Ocker sort of becomes famous in 1956 and hits the big rock scene, the pop bit, you know, and here's 10 years of his life. We go from sort of early Elvis to Little Richard right up to 64 when Ocker gets killed. Then there's a Beatles thing, then an interpretation of Phil Spector, which was an era all its own. Then we come right up to date and finish the album with a futuristic track of what we think 76 will be all about. Crazy. I guess this is me writing. Fortunately, we never got From the Grave of Ocker the Rocker. As Steve told Jenny Hall in April of 74, we got halfway through writing the album with the help of Mike Chapman and Nicky Chinn, but when we listened to it in the cold light of day, we didn't find the songs very inspiring. Now we've shelved the whole idea. So, again, this is the idea that in glam, they definitely had, you know, one of the sub-narratives coursing through glam was a 50s rock revival, you know, with the uniforms, the Irish show band sort of look to some of these guys. So, a big chunk of that whole glam thing was going back and paying homage to that that old music. All right. Let's move on. This is our fourth selection. Take a listen to this. This is Twisted Sister with It's Only Rock and Roll, But I Like It. Hey, if I'm a stick, my head and my heart, feel it all over the stage. What a satisfy, what a final pie. Oh, nothing but more strange. Ain't it strange, yeah, yeah. Hey, if I can bring you, hey, if I can sing you, a love song slow to mine. Whatever you love, by a cheating heart. Okay, so Twisted Sister's kind of an interesting case. The true medley in their case is actually the whole "Let the Good Times Roll" / "Feel So Fine" thing. Now that this is like, so Live at the Marquee, 1983, and I like the way Mick Phelan put this. He says this would have drove, you know, the metalheads, the new wave of British heavy metalheads, crazy. You know, they're loving their Twisted Sister. Twisted Sister's here, and all of a sudden they're playing It's Only Rock and Roll, But I Like It, and Let the Good Times Roll / Feel So Fine. But I wanted to put them in here because, A, they qualify with a medley, but this is also a band that really bleeds into that idea of, you know, unlike ZZ Top, who's, you know, plays a complicated "where is all this from, blah, 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 boogie, woogie" to entertain. Twisted Sister have this long history of playing a lot of covers mixed in with their originals. They have this massive history before they finally broke, you know, basically with Under the Blade, I suppose. And then, of course, you know, bigger with Stay Hungry. But so they have this long history of playing covers, but I'm amused by the way that they bring that forward with such bad taste and do it in 1983 at a, you know, an important gig at the Marquee in England in the middle of the new wave of British heavy metal. And this is the crazy part. So this all shows up officially as well. This is all on the Big Hits and Nasty Cuts album. So it's archival, right? But anyways, the crazy part of this is the It's Only Rock and Roll is 10 minutes and 12 seconds long. And it's not a medley. But what it is, it's just got the longest, most ridiculous, bore you to tears crowd participation part. I could do a whole episode on the crowd participation thing. That thing just drives me crazy. I just can't stand that whole crowd participation thing, especially when you're standing there in the crowd and you're asked to sing along and all this stuff and you're yelling and your throat is worn out and you know nobody, you know, you can't hear you. They can't hear you. Nobody can hear you. It's just dumb and you feel childish doing this, right? And then you think, wait a minute, didn't I pay my ticket price to come here and watch you entertain? Why am I clapping in unison for you and all this stuff, right? I can't stand that whole thing. But yeah, I wanted to put it in here because it's just in such bad taste in so many ways. It's like a dumb, dopey cover, you know, these punters don't want to hear from literally, what is that, 10 years earlier? And then mixed with some even older stuff. And these guys would also play, they would play Long Tall Sally and Johnny B. Goode and stuff too. By the way, Let the Good Times Roll, Leonard Lee, what do we got here? Leonard Lee, Shirley Goodman, right? It's that's the other thing. Researching for this episode, it's so hard to look up and find exactly, you know, you're checking the lyrics and all this to find exactly what you are listening to here, because these songs have been so bastardized and hybrid over the years, and you know, you could stick a traditional in there. And you know, 50s, and then it moves on to this, and then this person has a hit with it, and the lyrics get kind of changed a little bit, and the song titles are all kind of like childish and dopey and similar and all this stuff. So it's actually even hard to figure out where these things are coming from. But of course, you know, Dee Snider and the band up on stage, none of that matters. You're just playing a song and, you know, hoping that there's some recognition feel there, and they get into it sort of thing. So yeah, Twisted Sister definitely did this, played a lot of covers, did this horrible 10-minute version of It's Only Rock and Roll, but I like it. Let's move on. This is all bad music today, isn't it? Okay, take a listen to this. This is Led Zeppelin with Whole Lotta Love. Okay, so what you heard here was Led Zeppelin, Whole Lotta Love. Again, official but archival from later. This is from the How the West Was Won compilation album. So what they do, Led Zeppelin is, it's a little bit like the ZZ Top situation, but of course it's an earlier version of the ZZ Top situation. So what they do, let's start with what they do on this specifically. So it's Whole Lotta Love. It's how long this thing was here. So it's quite long, but anyways, we've got Whole Lotta Love, Boogie Chillin'. So we got, Let's Have a Party, Hello Mary Lou, Going Down Slow. All of this stuff is all mixed together. We've got writers here. We got Willie Dixon, John Lee Hooker, Jesse May Robinson, Kayette Mangiaracina, Gene Pitney, James B. Oden. You know, and they also do Bring It On Home with Bring It On Back, Willie Dixon mixed with their original. Basically, the point here, I've got this cool little book. How does it work here? I'm looking at it now on the actual How the West Was Won, and we've got 2308. Wow, 2308 version. Medley containing Boogie Chillin', 237, John Lee Hooker, Bernard Besman. Let's Have a Party, 152, Jerry Lieber. Hello, Mary Lou, Gene Pitney, 308. Going Down Slow, 839, James B. Oden. So there's something a little more official. We know the whole story with Led Zeppelin and the crediting and the lawsuits and all that sort of stuff. But essentially what Led Zeppelin is doing, I've got this book, I've got various Led Zeppelin, reference guides. But one of them I've got here, this little tiny format book by Dave Lewis and Simon Pell at Led Zeppelin, the concert file. You can open this to any page and read the set list of Led Zeppelin sets, you know, early on. But I mean, it goes late as well. But you could basically open this to any page and find a medley of really odd stuff. And, you know, going through this again, this took a lot of time to sort out what I'm listening to here on Led Zeppelin, because basically, you know, they're doing their original, and then they're just reminded of something old, and spontaneously they break into that, and maybe the lyrics aren't exactly what was going on, and who knows how long it goes for, and then it breaks into something else that's just subtly different, but, you know, back in the 50s it would have officially been a different song, and, you know, maybe there's a little jamming, and then we're back to Whole Lot of Love, blah, blah, blah. So this happens a lot in the Led Zeppelin catalog, and again, you know, to look at the motivation, It's a little bit like that ZZ Top thing, but ZZ Top is doing it based on their own, you know, version of the American songbook. But Led Zeppelin's doing it based on growing up the same way the Stones did, with all this this great blues. It's more blues than rock and roll with Led Zeppelin in most cases. But again, because they are Led Zeppelin, and the whole idea of Led Zeppelin being famous is that they sped up the blues and heavied up the blues, right? So you get tons and tons of this all across. So you know, it's coming from a good place where they're reminding, they're playing DJ, and they're reminding the people in the crowd of all this great music, and of where they're kind of getting their songs, or where they're getting their inspiration for writing their originals that sound like these old songs too, right? It's a big gray area mess, right? But live, you know, you could do a whole scholarly thing, and I'm sure it's been done, but you could go through all of these songs. And, you know, I went through a bunch of them when I did my Led Zeppelin All the Albums, All the Songs book, when I did the expanded edition. A bunch of that material at the back is looking at some of the key ones of these. You know, there's regularly Come On Everybody and Something Else. What else do they do? There's just tons and tons of this stuff that, again, they're basically playing DJ and giving you that whole that whole look at their past. They're proud of it all, and it actually fits a lot better. And it's again a little closer adjacent to those days, and it's really woven into the reason of Led Zeppelin. So it feels a lot more a lot less inappropriate, you know, versus something like Uriah Heep, where none of their songs sound like that sort of stuff. All right, honorable mentions. Mick Phelan says Meatloaf has one of these. He literally writes, Meatloaf has an awful one where they lurch from Johnny B. Goode to Blue Suede Shoes, back to Johnny B. Goode, rock and roll medley. I think he says it's even called that. You know, I was thinking of going down the road of the long blues things, where you've got Rainbow doing Mistreated, or Deep Purple. Deep Purple does Lucille as well, right? But Whitesnake, ain't No Love in the Heart of the City. So this is maybe a different episode where we talk about jamming and blues and the, you know, the boringness of that. Gillan Double Trouble, you know, long songs basically. Bit of a tie-in even with Rush Feedback, you know. So Feedback is a studio EP of a bunch of these old songs that no Rush fan wants to hear. But I thought of putting them in here because they officially take that stuff and do it live and stick it on R30. It's not exactly medley form, I don't think, at any point. Maybe it is. But essentially, they play some of those songs live. Monty Connor says Slade has one. I couldn't really find that. And then I thought of, you know, the whole thing with Aerosmith Live Bootleg, where side four is a big boring pile of old blues with I Ain't Got You, Mother Popcorn, and Train Kept a Rollin', all mashed together on kind of a pointless side two. You know, when you're a young kid, you know, you want to hear all the songs that are on sides one, two, and three. By the time you get to that, it's like, I don't want to hear Aerosmith doing a bunch of songs they grew up on. And then I thought of, you know, Blue Oyster Cult. Jonathan Richards brought this up as well. You know, I thought of the fact that on Your Feet or On Your Knees, you've got, once you get to, I think this is the last side, yeah, side four as well, I Ain't Got You, just like the Aerosmith live album. So 1975 Blue Oyster Cult does it, 1978 Aerosmith does it, but they've got that at 8:59 and then into Born to Be Wild at 6:36. To me, that's kind of a dopey old medley as well. You know, we know that they do Kick Out the Jams and We Got to Get Out of This Place on the second live album from 78. And then, you know, on the third live album, Extraterrestrial Live, we get A Long Roadhouse Blues. So they kind of fit in this thing a little bit as well. They're guilty parties, aren't they? So there you go. That's my big rant. That's my big complaint about my favorite bands playing a bunch of old time rock and roll that I don't want to hear. If you like this episode and want to support future episodes, please go to Ko-fi, rhymeswithnofi.com/martinpopoff, hit that red support button and buy me a coffee or a pint. On that front this week, I would like to thank Andy at Black Sugar Transmission, Bruce Campbell, Lee Clifford, David Fisher, Jamie Laszlo, Jeff Norfleet, Augustine Garcia de Paredes, Steve Polari, Brian Sager, and Andrew Smith. You can go to my martinpopoff.com for all your book needs. You know, there's the two Alice Coopers. I've still got the David Bowie, that awesome, awesome looking David Bowie book. That's there at the site. PayPal buttons makes it easy on all this. Yeah, out of this episode, I still got the sweet book. Actually, I've still got the Uriah Heep visual biography. So the big coffee table hardcover book, 400 pictures, detailed timeline of Uriah Heep. And what else have we got from this episode? Well, okay, that's the other one. Led Zeppelin, All the Albums, All the Songs. I actually is back in print, and I'm getting a few of those next week. And my Queen book is still in print, right? Queen album by album. So there you go. Your homework for this week is just run as far away as you can from any of this music as possible.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at the RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at R&R Archaeology.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.